produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever it is that you're listening to my voice. I want to thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks through the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. This is a strange time. I want to tell you that these strange and trying times that we're facing, and we're facing this unknown virus, it seems like it's taking over. We hear all manner of things as to where and how it started, and how to keep from getting it. Some are so way out there, but I gotta tell you, when people are in the grip of fear, they'll try anything and everything. And if you're feeling stressed and depressed and out of it, I want to let you know that you are not alone. We have a new normal now. This pandemic has brought about a change in the mindset of everyone. Or should I say enhance what was already there? Think about it. If you were of the mindset that this too shall pass, and you're prayerful, and you're doing all you can do to protect yourself and those around you, then most likely you went about your regular shopping, not hoarding. If you were in fear of shutdown, and not being able to get anything you needed, and you were just in that state of fear consciousness, then most likely you tried to overstock. But the truth is, this is bad. We do need to stay in and stay away from crowded places and be more intentional in our hygiene. The shame is that it took something like this for us to realize what's important. We take many things for granted, not the least of which is our quiet time. Before this virus, let's think about it. How much time did you spend in communion with God? Be truthful. Now, I don't mean a quick prayer before meals or before you decided to go to bed. I mean intentional, well thought out, planned time. Well, has he gotten your attention? The Bible tells us that God will get his glory. And if we, his creations, don't praise him, he can cause the rocks to cry out. And if you think back to, let's say, 4 months prior, this is what's been happening. We've had more volcano eruptions, floods, tornadoes, storms than I can ever remember. And it's a shame to think that it took these kinds of disasters to prepare the hearts of man and soften them. I've seen more acts of kindness in the past 3 months than I can remember seeing in my lifetime. But unfortunately, I've also seen the other side. And both of these actions, it comes from what's in the heart. It is said that out of the depth of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what is stored there comes out in times of pressure and trial, whether it be self-preservation or hoarding and sharing. To me, what it says to us is that what you've been used to thinking is what you store in your minds as reality. And we operate from thought. And if we want to change the way we view this time, we need to change our patterns of thinking. I know people that they call the end timers. These are the people who are saying we're living in the last days. And truly, we may be. But if you study biblical history and timeline, and this is the part that's really scary to me, we're not even midway. What if this is the final awakening call, the end of life and normalcy as we know it, unless we make a change? In Luke 12:15, God tells us to be careful of greed and covetousness. That means, contrary to popular belief, he who dies with the most toys does not win. Rather, he who is willing to make sure that all around him also have what they need, that's the one who succeeds. What good does it do to have everything you need for health and sanitation and not share? The person in your community that's closest to you had nothing with which to protect himself because you hoarded it all. And then he gets sick. Can he not infect you and others around you? We need to examine how we feel about the stewardship we've been charged with, the taking care of the world around us, because we are not alone. The Creator designed everything to be interconnected. Man himself is a triune being, mind, body, spirit. The spirit in man is a reflection of the divine. However, since we were also given free will, it is possible to taint that spirit of the divine with what we allow to enter into our minds, and that reflects in the outer body. Positive in, positive out. Likewise, trash in, trash out. And depending on how much of either you concentrate on, what you manifest, that's what where it comes from. And it is with the intention with which you concentrate as to how you quickly become your reality. There have been groups that I've been invited to participate in with global meditations for healing of the world, not just for this pandemic, but for every ill. And as many as I can, I join. Because Jesus stated, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I am that presence of peace, healing, love, joy, health, abundance of all good of God. Now, if you don't have a group to join, don't worry. You are still not alone, because whenever and wherever you sit and align yourself with the divine, allowing yourself to be engulfed with feelings of love and truth, that's the God essence, the whole host of heaven comes to your aid. I do it all the time in my meditations. The first time was a little strange, I think because I was still very new to it and still very aware that I wasn't sure what I should be feeling. And because I was still aware of my physical state, I didn't feel anything. But I didn't give up. Then one night, out on my deck, I made the connection, that mind-body-spirit connection. And if you're where you can be able to participate, I would love to share this with you. And I call this my star meditation. So are you ready? Let's take a deep breath. Exhale. One more time. Take a deep breath. And exhale. Now let's just sit back. Put yourself in your most comfortable place and realize something. Realize that this particular time when you do this and you breathe, everything is changing. So come with me on this little journey. It's evening, you finished your dinner, and your family is off doing whatever it is that they do after dinner. And it's your job this time to clean the kitchen and to take out the trash. And as you do, you look around, you feel the breeze, and you look up into the night sky. And it's lit up with stars, the most beautiful stars you've ever seen. So you pause and make yourself aware of each one of these stars. But there's this one star just so bright, and it seems to be getting brighter, and it seems to be coming closer, until you realize something. This bright light, this divine being whose brightness is so vivid, but it doesn't hurt the eye, is standing directly in front of you, beckoning you to come closer. And as you do, and as you are enveloped in the warmth of this light, all of your cares melt away. Everything that's around you melts away until it's only you and this particular light. And you realize that it came just for you. You and this light are one. You and this light have everything in common, and everything that you really never understood is clear to you now. You've never been this loved. You've never felt this kind of warmth. You've never felt this kind of protection, and you realize whose arms you are in. You see, the divine is here to protect you. And this was just God's way of letting you know, I am as close to you as a breath. You stand there and you enjoy this feeling. It's almost overwhelming, the amount of love that you feel. You never want to leave this. You never want to be separate from this. And in truth, you can't be. But you have to allow. You have to let yourself feel this. So you tarry there with this light just a few more seconds. And as you do, this essence, this God likeness within this light tells you not to worry, because you will never be apart and you will never, ever be alone. And time is ticking, but you're not aware of this time. It's standing still almost, because you are there where you belong. And as this light starts to back away and take its place back into the heavens where you first recognized it, you know that this wasn't an accident. This light didn't come from the heavens. It was drawn to you. You see, you are the essence of God. You are the way the stars look back at themselves. You are that brightness. Your true God essence, Christ nature, is what you just experienced. And you never have to be without it. So it's time now for you to come back into reality. But before you go back into your house, you turn, look over your shoulder at the star who has now taken his place back beside his brothers. And it twinkles his goodnight to you. And you smile and nod, because you know that you are one with this spirit and you are one with this light. And you realize that you can never, ever be alone. Now, did you enjoy that one? I'm glad. Now, if the feeling of love was overwhelming, then it's a sign that you need more of it. The more you can freely open yourself up to the healing energy that the God essence provides, when you finally are comfortable with acknowledging that this is where you belong, this is who you were created to be, that's when your true nature explodes. You start to walk a little taller. Your whole being is constantly evolving as you become more and more free. That's what comes when you feel at ease in your own skin. The knowledge that when you step out of your comfort zone, you have a spiritual cheering squad. The whole of heaven is excited to welcome you back into the flow. You know that you're more than enough, smart enough, strong enough, equipped enough with whatever it takes to manifest your desire. All of this and more is yours for the taking. It's freely given. But we have not because we ask not. That is my prayer, that during this time of staying in, that has given you pause to reflect on the importance of having a strong connection with the divine, and that you keep that connection with all of this when it's over. And it did come to pass. But it is also a mighty teacher, Let's learn the lesson well so that we never have to take this test again. Yes, the kingdom of heaven is within. And when you take the time to pause and go within and remember that God, even though he gave you free will, is actually rooting for you, waiting for you to draw to him closer and accept your blessings freely. That's when, as the Bible states, you have the peace that passes all understanding. That is when we can begin to put ego behind us. And ego, E-G-O, itself stands for edging God out. And begin to be good stewards of the people who you have been charged with helping in the development of their souls, the elevation of the ever-expanding consciousness. When we come through this trial, let's make sure that we do so stronger mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, more fully integrated with our true God nature. Let's make this our Passover time, when we pass over from fear, doubt, negativity of all kinds, and learn to live from our God essence. Let's not waste this chance to give thanks for the people that are in our lives, not to mention what you've been blessed with materially. Yes, the way in is truly the way out, because the way in is faith. Faith in the love and promises of God. And with faith, you can walk through the valley and come out in splendor. People around you won't understand because you've been through the same trial at the same time, but you seem to have weathered the storm and not look like what you've been through. And this is the power of joining with God. This is the power of knowing who you are. This is the power of connecting with your Christ itself, the self that God made you to be. We are his image and likeness. We glow. We are because he is. And he rose during this time, this season, this Eastertide, physically, so that we raise in consciousness. So let this conscious part of you rise up and overpower any fear, any negativity, anything that you don't like about this time. And yes, be prayerful for those around. People have lost relatives. People have lost income. No doubt there will be a whole lot more fallout behind this. But when you cover yourself with the love of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's just like when the Hebrew families covered their doorposts in lamb's blood, all of the trials will pass over and everything will become clear to you. The things that we don't understand, the things that we don't acknowledge that we do understand, everything has to come to bear. Everything comes so that we can grow. I remember hearing when I was a child that my grandmother would say, okay, a hard head makes a soft behind. Now, for her, that meant, if you don't behave me, you're going to get a spanking. If you don't mind what I say, you're going to get the consequences of your action. And for sure, we do. So let's keep in mind that when God tells us and we listen and we can discern that it's his voice, let's make sure that we understand. Let's make sure that we do. Let's make sure that we support others in their being and that we raise our consciousness to the point that we operate from it. And when we're operating from enlivened consciousness, we're operating from the God essence of us in which we were made. He put his breath in us, people. Let's make sure that we breathe that breath of life from every pore in our body until it engulfs everybody within the world. Everything that we need to know, the spirit of us already knows. So let's just connect and be one with that spirit so that we can grow and overcome all of this. Relax, release, relate. This is Reverend Lydia saying be blessed, and let's remember, realign with that which we truly were made to be. See you next time.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and as always, happy Thursday. This is Tammy Polk, your host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. You have just heard a selection from my dear friend and church member, Amber Patterson DePaola. I encourage you to check her out, check out her music. As I've said before, she is to music what I am to books. So if you are interested in hearing more of her music, look her up. She is out there. As always, I'm excited to be here with you today, and we are going to get back into the book, Girl, Go Eat a Cookie and Then Handle Business. During my August show, we took a break because August is the start of my year, if you will. So I always like to talk about New Year starts on your birthday when it comes to the month of August. But in getting back into Girl, Go Eat a Cookie, in our last show, we talked about the concept of grace and the three types of grace that there are. It is the grace that we get from God, the grace that we give to others, and the grace that we don't give ourselves. And those two things are the grace to not be okay and the grace to rest. I will tell y'all now, I have been asked by my audience to write books just on those two, which I am highly considering. So today we are going to actually get into chapter 2, which is entitled Grit and Her Twin Sister Grind. So a woman's strength is like none on earth, but we have to remember that it's there. And the guiding scripture that I want to get into here is 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Now, to many, Paul was absolutely insane. Well, I know most of us have read this story, and we wondered why, in all of God's eternal creation, Paul would get up and go back into the city where he was stoned and left for dead. But how many of us have done the same? You fight battles daily that most people would have given up on because you know that making a difference and an impact in that place is necessary for your life, faith, family, ministry, education, and business or career to be what it's meant to be. So you put on that brave face, you clean up the bumps and the bruises, and you go right back in for round two. But why? It's because you understand the necessity of doing so. This is where you pray and ask God to help you to develop the tunnel vision that you need. And more importantly, to close your mouth before something he would not be pleased with comes out of it. So you may say, Tammy, what do you mean? Think about your job for a second. I want you to name that one coworker, boss, client, or customer who makes you want to turn in your 2 weeks' notice 18 months early or close your business altogether. You really want to tell them off and cut them off so bad. But self-control got the better of you. And I can tell you why. Like the Apostle Paul, you know that you have a mission and an assignment with that person that still has to be accomplished despite how they treat you. Now, Paul did not go back into the city to tell them off, but to share God's message with them one more time before God stepped in on them. The reason you have to go back in there is because you know exactly what that person is about to go through. Even though it may be unavoidable, you want to walk away with a clear conscience, knowing that you did your part to ensure that it was as soft of a blow as could be. But you have to understand that the fact that they didn't listen to you has nothing to do with you. They have to give that account for not listening to you. So that is on the professional level. Let's make this personal. Life has probably dealt you a hand that has made faith, family, ministry, education, and business seem like 18-ton megaweights on your shoulders. I'm not talking about cinder blocks. I'm talking about a load so heavy that you're laid flat out on the ground wishing that you could move. Then you start to feel like that nothing you do will ever work. So you said, you know what? This is the hand that life dealt me. I'm just going to deal with, girl. Go eat a cookie and then handle business. Now, you may not be able to do everything you want to about your situation. But that doesn't mean that you sit back and take whatever comes. You are too important and too valuable to have that mindset. And those people whom you say are annoying, but are really trying to lovingly shake some sense into you, are there for a reason. Just as Elijah was with the widow of Zarephath. She thought he was a madman when he asked her to make a cake for him first. All she saw was what she thought she didn't have. And here was a man of God telling her to trust God, and she struggled. Yet the key in this struggle is that she obeyed and was blessed. As my pastor often says, when you take one step, God will take three, but you have to take that first step in order to see God move in any way. You are to trust Him. Do what is in your power to do and trust Him to provide the rest. But that's not what we do if we are honest. We do one of two things. We either go into spaghetti mode like a child, or we start to grit and grind so hard that God doesn't stand the Holy Spirit of a chance to do what He needs to do in our lives so that the other areas fall in line. What this does is it limits God. And we don't understand that He needs our grit and our grind, but in the right way. So think about it like this. We wouldn't have much of the Bible if Paul had not gotten up. It would have ended right there when he got up and left the next day. Now, I know you're not Paul, neither of us are, but please understand that there is going to be someone, somewhere, sometime, somehow, in some way, who needs to know something about overcoming what you're currently facing. I've seen it too many times. You may have to do some things that you don't like or know how to do well. But that's what the grace of God and having the right support system around you will handle on your behalf. You're not by yourself, and Hebrews tells us that. What you don't want to do is turn into Saul, meaning King Saul, and move before you are supposed to and mess something up royally. What do I mean? Samuel instructed Saul to go before him to the high place with the people and wait for him to come and make the sacrifice on behalf of the people. Instead of Saul waiting, he allowed the people complaining about how long it was taking Samuel to get there to get to him. So he felt like because the people were complaining, he needed to answer the complaints of the people. So that's exactly what he did. He gave the sacrifice on behalf of the people. And just as he was doing so, Samuel arrived and he called him a fool, asking him what he had done. And Saul said, well, you delayed your coming and the people were complaining, so I offered the sacrifice. So then Saul was told that he was going to be replaced as king because of his disobedience. And yes, what happened to him can happen to you, and it will wreak havoc in your life, faith, family, ministry, education, business, or career. And I'm going to tell you how. First, your life will become so ingrained and inundated with the grit and grind that you start to show your family that they don't have to trust God. You may start flourishing due to your efforts, yes, but something on the inside will say God could have and would have given you much more than this had you let him. You know that that still small voice is right, but you go right back to it. And you may say, well, Tammy, what am I supposed to do? I'm glad you asked. I saw a quote on social media. It was from a rapper, but it still fits what we're talking about here. But he said, I don't want to move fast. I want to move correctly. And believe it or not, that's exactly what we ought to do. So handling business in your life, faith, family, ministry, education, business, or career is all about moving correctly. Are you talking to the right people? Do you know what you are supposed to be getting done? Do you know when it's supposed to be done or when it needs to be done? Have you found out where you need to go? Have you checked the motives behind your grit and grind? That's a big one. Because if your why is messed up, you may get what you want to get done, but it'll feel like you haven't done anything at all. Next, do you know what action steps you need to take to make this happen? Do you know how much time, money, and work or effort needs to be done so that the outcome you want is produced? Now, we mess up when any of this gets out of whack. And this is why we always see quotes or overhear conversations about not sharing what you're working with or going through with people who don't understand. And that's because we're going grit and grind so fast and too fast to the point that we are missing out on quality. Just like there's no shortcut to baking a cake, there's no shortcut to handling business in this area. So when you start cutting corners, it becomes noticeable right away. Let's talk about ministry. Your ministry will never see the growth, progress, or impact that is needed because you're too busy doing the work to see what's not working. And by the time you do, there's zero chance for damage control because people, places, things, and ideas have all gone out the window. And now you're blaming your ministry team for the lack of growth, progress, and impact instead of looking at you as the leader. It's the same with education. Whether it is personal or professional, you will overlook certain requirements for a project and think that your way of doing it is better. But then when there are points taken off or you don't get the favorable response that you think you deserve from the work that you've done, you will tell that educational professional that it's their fault. You will even go so far as to lie and say that they changed the requirements. And because of that, your business or career is affected because you've lost out on key knowledge that could have taken you further. So you have to understand that grit and grind require balance. I get that you want to plunge forward with one on each shoulder, but you have to be careful because people around you know your work ethic and your hustle, whether they say so or not. But the problem comes in when you let either one of them go into hyperdrive. The Apostle Paul didn't do that. He went back into the city, finished his work, and moved on. So now you need to ask yourself what business it is you need to handle. Focus on that and then move on. Because too many of us are carrying the loads in others. And we share our grit and grind when we don't need to. So the last thing I want to talk about here as we close out our time is apathy and laziness. I want you to understand that neither one has a place in the business that you need to handle. When you allow yourself to become apathetic and lazy because you feel as though the grit and grind you give won't matter, you are hurting yourself and setting yourself up for failure. That doesn't have to happen. Stop looking at what you don't have, talking about how hard it is, lying about what's going on, bribing your family to keep up appearances, and saying that there's nothing you can do, because if that were true, then the mission wouldn't have been given to you. You're having a Moses moment. And trust me, you don't want God to start talking to you like he started talking to Moses. The reason you want to be careful with apathy and laziness is because you have friends, family, loved ones, church members, frenemies, enemies, and foes who are looking for ammunition that they can use against you. When you are apathetic and lazy, you are loading their gun, because they are waiting for you to stop, give up, and throw in the towel. Another favorite quote of mine says this: who are you making right by giving up on your dreams? And throughout the Bible, we have examples of different people saying that this is going to happen. And it happens when we are lazy and apathetic. Then we start dealing with, I told you so. And now you're crying because you didn't allow yourself to see the necessity of getting back up after being stoned to death. But if God has allowed you to get up from it, you are slapping him in the face if you do so and then give up. And this was one of the reasons why I personally fought so hard in 2020. I didn't want to disappoint him. God allowed me to get up from what I was going through. And I remember having a dream where I was surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews talks about. And I was there preparing to tell them that I was about to give up on reaching my goal of 125 books published by my birthday. And then the dream shifted because three of the faces became very clear to me. And they were those of my late mother, her mother, and the daughter that I lost halfway through my pregnancy. And they were in tears. And my daughter in the dream walked up to me and said, "Mommy, you can't quit. I love you. Please don't quit." I got up from that dream and recorded those 27 books as audiobooks over 4 days. So when I finished my goal and I woke up on my birthday in 2020, I woke up announcing that I had met my goal. So not only should you think about who you're making right by giving up, but also who are you letting down? And with that, that is the crux of chapter 2 of Girl Go Eat a Cookie and Handle Business. Next, we will get into chapter 3, which is growth in yourself and others. And I'll be sharing a perspective on growth that a lot of people don't think about. But this has been the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. But you guys know me. I have to thank my two favorite people. Kayla Paget, God bless you as you continue to care for your family and expand the network. Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into having this radio show in the first place. Thank you so much for continuing to support and push me until October. Guys, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging and handle business. See you soon.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. Wounded by the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains. Help is on the way. Heaven's on your side. Every prayer is heard. Your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills. You won't be overcome. It won't be long. Keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way. But it isn't over yet. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, no matter the fear or the battle you face, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way.
Listening to the Weight of the World radio show hosted by Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart.
as working for the Lord, not human masters. Colossians 3:23. Welcome again to the Weight of the World radio program here on Lifted Authors Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series and Ketogenic Lifestyle Coach. Within my broadcast, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into your success from everyday life. When coaching my clients, I like to take a big picture perspective. Your health is not only a result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. I have discussed throughout several of my past episodes how to prepare mentally and emotionally for starting your ketogenic journey, relying on faith and patience. Like with any good plan of action, you must prepare yourself ahead of time for what to expect along the way. Changing your lifestyle is no different. Today, I want to share with you how to prepare to begin your ketogenic journey in your home and around your schedule. Being prepared will help you start off on a right foot without having your progress slowed by climbing obstacles you could have prepared for ahead of time. So let's start off by preparing with your kitchen. After all, that's where most of your ketogenic plan will have to begin. The very first step of your kitchen preparation is to clean out everything you will not need on your ketogenic journey. You probably know there are a lot of items you will no longer need, but don't fear when you realize how bare your pantry shelves are when you're done. Don't worry, I have some fantastic suggestions for utilizing all that space. As you're going through your pantry, I like to start by removing in stages. Removing in stages not only helps you be more thorough in your purge, but it also helps you learn how to build your grocery list for later on. And I'll explain a bit more when I get to grocery shopping segment of the show. Begin with all of your obvious offenders. Remove your chips, cookies, cereals, pasta, sugary snacks, and similar items. Place these in a box to either donate to your local food pantry or anyone else in need. This is probably the easiest step after all. You can identify these items as no-nos on keto with ease. Your next step would be to remove your baking goods offenders. Remove your cornstarch, flour, cornmeal mix, sugar, biscuit, and cake mixes, and other similar products place them aside for donation as well. This next step is going to slow you down just a little bit, but you'll begin to see why label reading becomes a part of your way of life. I'll even teach you how to make it hassle-free, too. Start with your canned goods. If they're beans or peas, go ahead and put them in your donation box. If they're green beans, canned spinach, canned asparagus, or other keto-friendly vegetables, you can set them aside. Once you've separated them, start reading the ingredients labels. You may actually be surprised to see that some of your canned veggies actually add added sugar to their products during their canning process. One brand may actually be keto-compliant, whereas another brand could have sugar added. Add the higher carb and sugar cans to your donation box and replace them with keto-friendly ones to your shelves. Next, if it's canned fruit, you can pretty much donate all of that. Keto mainly only allows for berries in moderation due to high natural sugar values of most fruits. The majority of canned fruit products are packed with sugar and preservatives that are not allowed on the ketogenic diet. Now, your pantry should be close to empty of all things that you will not need. If there are any remaining items after these, go through and read each ingredients label thoroughly for non-compliant ingredients. Some of the ingredients you may identify are starches such as tapioca starch or potato starch, or sugars such as dextrose or honey. These items will need to be donated as well. Once you have your donation box full, set it to the side. You may have to start another one when you get to your fridge and cabinets. Once your pantry's been purged, this is a great time for you to go ahead and just wipe down your shelves, clean up a little bit, and figure out how you want to reorganize your pantry. When you get to the part of organizing the rest of your kitchen, one of those great ideas I told you about, you can store all of your countertop appliances in your pantry for easy and quick access to use without them being all over your countertop. Now you'll want to go through your refrigerator. So go ahead and start with your condiments. I typically keep mine in the door of my refrigerator. When removing these items, you may not be able to donate them to a food pantry if they've been opened, but I'm sure you can find family or neighbors or even friends who can utilize these items before you decide to throw them out. Just like your pantry products, you will not only need to read the macros on your label, but also your ingredients list. Many marinades, condiments, and spreads will have starches and sugars added to them. These are not allowed on keto, so go ahead and toss those as well. I'm also sharing recipes for keto-friendly sauces, condiments, and marinades in our Southern Fried Keto Foodie Keto Chef group on Facebook, but there is still a decent variety of most basic condiments that are prepackaged as keto-friendly. You can find keto-friendly mustard, mayonnaise, pickled relishes, pickled peppers, no-sugar-added ketchup, and other ideas that make great replacements for your standard basics. If you look in the door of my refrigerator, I typically keep my heavy cream, minced garlic, chicken broth, butter, jalapeno slices, sugar-free dill relish, and a variety of homemade sauces and dressing and condiments that I've made for use during meals during the week. Next, just start by going shelf to shelf, removing items that are not allowed on your ketogenic diet plan. The obvious offenders will stick out to you, but as always, read your ingredients labels to be certain. Do away with your non-keto items and then reorganize as you go. You will again likely see some bare shelves. Take this time to deep clean your refrigerator. Having a clean fridge to stock truly helps with the mental preparation, especially if you're OCD like I am. A little tip when stocking your fridge, start with your chicken and pork on the bottom, then your seafood above it, and then your beef above it. Keeping all of your meats on the bottom of your refrigerator and stacking them in order of contamination risk will help keep down your contamination throughout your products. Just above your meats, store your eggs. Now, technically in a restaurant setting, fresh eggs typically would be stored below meats, but in a home refrigerator, it can be a bit of a challenge to follow that rule. So just moving them just above the meats and making sure that your eggs aren't cracked or leaking at any time is probably the best option here. In your drawers above that, you can place your cheeses, closed packaged foods, and leftovers that are in containers. On your next shelf above that, store your berries and veggies. Then on your shelf above that, you can store your beverages. Keeping your foods in contamination risk order will help keep your proteins from contaminating your veggies, fruits, and other items. Be sure to go through your spices and seasonings as well as extracts. Many blends and extracts will have sugar or added carby stabilizers for packaging. If you have a favorite pre-mixed variety of spices that you frequently use, just purchase a few of empty spice bottles and blend your own. There are many different variations you can find to combine for alternatives to your pre-keto seasoning blends. Then, if you have any cabinets full of products left, finish by purging these as well. Once you've cleaned out your kitchen, now you can reorganize your kitchen to work more efficiently for your keto journey. In my kitchen, I like to have my baking and snack making ingredients easy to access, so I put it in the cabinet above my stove. I also have all of my kitchen appliances tucked away in my pantry. This allows for so much more countertop space to work with and less clutter in your kitchen. If you want to go even further with your organizing, this would also be a great time to purge any pots, pans, dishes, or plastic containers that you either don't use anymore or you have an overabundance of. Now that you have your kitchen ready to stock, it's time to start making your grocery list. When your grocery list is coming up for the first time on keto, don't let the task of stocking your kitchen intimidate you. Sure, you can go spend $400 to $500 to stock your kitchen full from the beginning, or you can simply take it a little at a time. This will help you stagger your grocery costs over a period of time. Start by deciding which dinners you want to make for the week. You can help stretch your purchased ingredients by making sure that some ingredients cross over to multiple dishes. For example, sometimes when we have weeks where we have Taco Tuesday, during the same week, we will also have Philly Cheesesteak Casserole Night. This allows us to split ingredients and a few seasonings over both recipes. I can purchase one of each pepper, a red and a green bell pepper, and an onion, and these will actually stretch across both recipes. I can split a red bell pepper in half, a green bell pepper in half, and an onion in half, and use these halves for each of the recipes. These recipes would also serve around four people. The beef can be crossed over through both recipes, or I can swap out chicken for beef in either one of these as well. As for seasonings to buy, these are your basic necessities to eat like a true Southern Fried Keto foodie. Garlic powder, salt, and pepper. If you have those three seasonings in your cabinet and those are the only ones, you can still create a plethora of recipes that taste amazing. Another example on a week like this is to make chicken tenders and waffles on that same week. The coconut flour that I would use to make keto tortillas can be used to cross over to chicken tender breading and waffles. Purchasing almond flour can also be used to make a nice batch of cookies for the week, as well as for your breading and your chicken tenders. If you pair your ingredients across meals and rotate a variety of flavor profiles from week to week, you will have your kitchen fully stocked keto style in no time. Using a few coupons and following store sales to stock up on prices can also help with grocery costs. Your savings could also allow you to purchase a few more minor items that you could use in the future. When it comes to lunches, if you have the ability to, always cook an extra couple of portions of dinner and tuck them away to take to you with you to work. Even if you need cold lunches, you can still take protein portions from a previous night's dinner and add them to a salad base. This will also help you to not only save across your grocery bill, but also help you to consume leftovers with a different style of dish for variety, and it keeps them from stockpiling up in the back of your fridge. Once you've begun to build your kitchen inventory, you're off to a great start. So here's a little tip for when you're grocery shopping. I know you've heard this before. Don't shop when you're hungry. I repeat, please do not shop when you are hungry. It never fails. I will never go to the store with a rumbling stomach. I also never grocery shop when I'm fasting. Honestly, it's just not a good combination. Trust me on this. Even if I'm in a hurry, I will make something with a high fat content to keep my stomach satisfied while I shop. Sometimes it's a bulletproof style coffee, or sometimes it's snacking on bacon as I'm heading to the car to head to the grocery store. It will save me not only from temptations, but also from running up my grocery bill with foods I regret purchasing later when I actually regain my composure. If you're living with others who don't follow the ketogenic diet, these tips may kind of seem a little difficult, but there are a few easy accommodations you can make. If you are the only one using ketogenic ingredients in your household, place all of your ingredients and supplies on a designated shelf in your fridge and pantry. Once you become accustomed to looking only at those shelves for your food, your eyes seem to settle only on those shelves as you go to the pantry, and the other items will begin to fade out of attention. If you can't get past sharing the pantry with other non-keto foods, clear a cabinet out that is a distance from your pantry to store your own foods in. As for planning meals, you can absolutely plan your meals around non-keto meals in your home. Just plan a meat or protein to be cooked without sauce. You can prepare your non-keto family's side dish at the same time you prepare your own. Simply just choose a side such as steamed broccoli or sauteed asparagus. Your non-keto family can spice up their protein with their own choice of condiments or sauce, and you can just add your own keto-friendly sauce or condiment. Sometimes making a simple dinner can actually appease the masses without a hiccup, and everyone ends up happy. Now that you have the biggest task, which is preparing your kitchen, out of the way, you can start focusing on everything else. The next step I suggest in preparation for starting your keto journey has to do with asking yourself, what are my goals? If your goals are for health reasons, find other sources of supportive things you may need to have handy. Such as if your goal is to build muscle tone without a heavy workout, make sure you still have small weights and an exercise plan already mapped out. Here's a veteran tip. Don't set yourself up against success dates and don't bite off more than you can chew. In other words, don't tell yourself, I'm going to lose 20 pounds my first month. Because if your body is not willing and capable of losing that 20 pounds in the first month, you're actually going to set yourself up for a little bit of disappointment. Instead, set yourself up with, I'm just going to lose weight this month. For most people who've started keto, they've probably tried every diet in the book and was unable to lose weight in any significant amount or keep it off for any significant amount of time. Keto is going to show you something a little different. Just remember that each pound you lose, you are closer to your goal of being the weight you want to be, the health you want to be, and having your medical concerns put at bay if your doctor says that keto is right for you. No matter what your goals are, remember this is a marathon and not a sprint. If you already work out on a regular basis, cut yourself some slack in the first month. You're going to go through an adaptation process that may have you feeling a little fatigued with a regular workout. Once you become fat adapted, this feeling will subside and you will begin to experience enhanced energy. If you do not already work out on a regular basis, please step into it slowly. In the beginning, you will also feel a little fatigued in the beginning. This, again, is because your metabolism is getting accustomed to taking its fuel source from fat rather than carbohydrates. Once your body begins to realize that fat is its primary fuel source, it will burn through your dietary and body fat faster as it optimizes. If your goals are related to medical issues, consult your doctor and your keto coach for ideas on how to prepare in other ways to meet your health goals in a safe and natural way that are complementary to your ketogenic journey. Sometimes even simple things such as Epsom salt baths to help cure with muscle cramps due to electrolyte imbalance, or dry brushing just to help with some circulation. Adding in collagen peptides or supplements to your plan ahead of time can also be beneficial if your doctor agrees. If you plan to track your macros, take a little bit of time and research tracking apps. Some are great for keto, whereas others will not account for carb calculations and higher fat content diets. Nothing worse than getting fat shamed by your diet tracker. These tracking apps are such a convenient way to keep up with your day without manually writing everything down for each thing that you eat. Having it on your phone almost guarantees that you can stay current with your logging. Sometimes these apps are very quick and easy and they already have a database you can pull from. Other apps will give you the opportunity to actually create your own database with your own recipes and your own specific foods that you like on keto. I always encourage all the new ketoers to start out by tracking. Another tool to prepare yourself is with a measurement board. When we as a family were losing our weight, we loved the measurement board. When the scale wouldn't go down or wouldn't budge, we could always rely on our measurement board to keep us motivated to keep going. Measurements will show long before pounds lost in most cases. We made our measurement boards on our bathroom mirrors, and we wrote our measurements in 4-week comparisons with a permanent marker on our mirror, where we could see it every single morning to help keep us going in the right direction for the day. Don't worry about ruining your mirror with that permanent marker. Just use some rubbing alcohol to wipe it off when you're ready to remove it or update it. The next couple of suggestions were ideas that helped me keep going, especially during times of stress, when I wanted to eat my feelings away. First, I went through my closet and removed any clothes that didn't fit me perfectly or snug. By removing all the clothes that allowed me, quote-unquote, room to grow, I only allowed myself clothes that fit or were in my future goals. I was fortunate enough during my weight loss period to have a daughter very close in size to me. That might have been a double-edged sword. I may or may not have gone out a few times in a t-shirt that said NASA nerd, but you know what? I was never tempted once to find something in my wardrobe to conceal a cheat day. For every size I decreased, I removed anything that was bigger than fitting, and I gave it away. Don't pack those clothes up for later and stuff them in your attic, because trust me, you won't need them. This is not another diet plan that will let you down. If you lose weight on keto, you will never gain it back if you make it a true lifestyle change for life. Another suggestion with the same idea, hide your yoga pants and your leggings, ladies. You don't have to get rid of your favorites. Just send them on a vacay with the hubby to Narnia, aka the garage or attic. If you don't know where they are, you can't use them to hang loose on any day. When you reach your goal, bring them back out, and if they fit comfortably, keep them. If they're baggy, toss them too. The point of this tip is not to allow yourself to fall back into old patterns by making your brain realize that you don't have a choice. This is a great motivator to keep moving in the right direction. I mean, honestly, who truly wants to go back out and buy bigger clothes after they've made it into a smaller size? That small piece of information only will help keep you pushing forward till the next day. My second suggestion for preparing for stressful times is to make a battle plan. When I say battle plan, I mean make keto-compliant snacks and treats. Trust me, there will be times where you will be tempted, and you are going to wish you had something that was lower carb and more keto-friendly. to fall into than something that is outside the ketogenic diet that can disrupt your insulin response levels and can disrupt anything that you have going on that's going well with your ketogenic plan. Have these snacks and treats already made and stored in your fridge and freezer, so when you go to war with your stress hormones, you are ready. Always make your snacks and treats in bite-sized portions for controlled snacking. Now, if you've not started keto yet, I know bite-by-bite snacking might actually seem a little ridiculous to you, but when you begin to feel satisfied by higher fat, it takes less and less to curb your sweet tooth. You may plow through a full slice of cheesecake one week, and the next you could have cut the same portion into thirds and still felt satisfied. This is one of the many great perks of the ketogenic diet for those of us who have always struggled with portion control or emotional eating. The idea is to take a bite or two and wait 20 minutes. If after that 20 minutes you need another bite, take another one. No more than another bite or two. And before you contemplate taking the next one, give it another 20 minutes. Typically, after about your third bite, you're going to start to feel full if you are giving it full 20 minutes in between many portions. This gives your stomach time to tell your brain it's been given what it wants before you consume more than you need. Being prepared to battle these cravings and going on your ketogenic plan may be a major power tool in your journey, especially if you're a foodie like me. Going through with your preparations will benefit you even more as you add to your prep list going along your journey. You can also find many unique ways to personalize your preparations. And men, don't forget, you also get excited when you go down a size, so purging your closet would also be just as beneficial. When you're going through all this, do not shame yourself. Remember that we have all somewhat been trained to see food as a reward system. It's not our faults, but now that we know better, we can replace food rewards with so many other happy replacements. As you create this habit of rewards without food, you'll also change the way you view food in general. As I've said before, preparation is an essential key to starting out on the right foot with the ketogenic diet. If you have a game plan in place before you start, you're more likely to stick with it through the first month, when someone who did not plan or prepare ahead of time may not. If you're looking to create a preparation plan for your keto journey and need some assistance, we are always here to help. Just email me at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.